Well, shalom, y'all. Just want to welcome you to this week's teaching. We are so glad that you have joined us for this teaching. You know, Yahweh's word says, great shalom have those who love his Torah. And it says that nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, that is the very reason why we study his word. It's the very reason why we study his Torah, is because we love it. And the reason we love it is because he first loved us. And his son died upon that tree for us. He has redeemed us from a life of sin, setting us free from the power of sin, and setting us free to not only to love the instructions and the commandments that he has given us, but also has set us free to obey them. And because we love them and we have a desire to walk in them and to be obedient to them, we experience great shalom, we experience blessings, and we can have his favor upon our lives, even in the darkest hours of our lives, through the most difficult tests and trials that we may experience on this earth. And so because we love his Torah, we're going to jump into his word today and see what his word has for us. And we pray that he opens our eyes to see marvelous things in his Torah today. This week, we are going to be in Numbers chapter 20, and we're going to be reading a passage here in Numbers chapter 20. And we're actually going to be discussing how God tested Israel in the wilderness and how he test his people today, and ultimately through his testing of us, how he refines us, or you could say how he makes us into the man or the woman that he would have us to be in order to fulfill the purposes that he has for us here on this earth for his kingdom and advancing the gospel of Yeshua to the four corners of the earth. So let's go ahead and get started, and let's read our first passage here, and that is in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 1. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there is no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before Yahweh. Why have you brought up the assembly of Yahweh into the wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of Yahweh appeared to them. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation of their animals. So Moses took the rod from before Yahweh, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. You know, we have spoken in some previous teachings, and we've talked about how Israel complained in the wilderness. We talked about how they had a desire to go back to Egypt because they were not satisfied with what life was like in the wilderness, or you could say because of their disbelief and believing what Yahweh was going to provide for them. They were so caught up in their physical needs and desires that they totally forsook the spiritual things that Yahweh was taking them through and teaching them while they were in the wilderness. And these previous times that they had complained and murmured in the wilderness, we see that there were plagues that came amongst the camp. And there were those in the camp that died in the wilderness because of their sin, because of the lusting of their flesh, because of their disbelief that they had. And here in this passage, we see that Israel has come into the wilderness of Zin. There is no water to drink. And instead of remembering all of the wonderful things that God had done for them up until this point, they have forgotten that, and they become a people of disbelief. They are now fearful because they don't see water and they don't see what they're going to be able to drink. And out of their fear, they begin to complain and murmur again and actually say, why didn't we just die with our brothers before? We would have been better off dying in the plagues. I mean, that is a sad place to be if you think about it. And they also begin to talk about how good it was in Egypt when they were living in bondage underneath Pharaoh, serving under hard labor under Pharaoh, building them bricks there in Egypt for Pharaoh. So what, you know, led them to this place? And number one we see here is they're showing a lack of belief at this moment. So you could say God is actually testing Israel. They have gone through these things previously. They have shown their lack of belief when the spies went into the land to spy out the land. They saw the giants and they believed that there was no way they could possess the land because of the giants and the walled cities. And so they failed to go and possess the land that was told was theirs to give. We see that they complained before. So I believe what Yahweh is doing here is he is testing his people. And we're actually going to see here in the verse that that is exactly what he's doing. He is testing Israel. They have missed this mark. They have sinned in this area a couple of times before this. And now he is giving them another test to see if they will pass the test. You know, that's how he works. Yahweh will test us, his people. And until we pass that test, he's going to keep bringing that test our way. So you better learn to pass the test. That way you can stop experiencing that test and you can move on to the next one. So let's look at Psalms chapter 81 and verse 7. You called in trouble and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. So here we see that God is speaking. And he's saying, look, I called you in trouble and I delivered you. This is speaking of how he delivered them out of Egypt. And he says here that I tested you at the waters of Meribah. So he tested them. He was giving them a test there in the wilderness. And the point of the test, or you could say the trial that they're going through, see, a test is going to be done in affliction. We aren't tested in blessings and when everything is going well and we're prospering and we really experience the favor of God upon our lives. That's not when we are experiencing the test. His test and his trials come through the affliction of life. And he allows affliction to come our way in order to test us. And that testing is to see what is inside of our hearts. So that's what he was doing with Israel here. He was making life a little bit difficult on them to see what was inside of their heart, to see if they now had belief, if when things got hard, they would remember what he did for them when he brought them out of Egypt. Or is there unbelief and complaining and lusting in their hearts? That is the point of a trial, is to see what is inside of us. He puts a little pressure on us. And when that pressure gets applied to us, that's when we begin to find out what is really on the inside of us. Because what's on the inside of us is what's going to come out of us. So when everything is going well, it's pretty easy to kind of mask what's going on the inside. But when the affliction comes, what is on the inside is going to come out. So I would say pay attention when you're going through trial, when you're going through affliction. It's at that moment in time that we get a real glimpse of what is on the inside of us, what is inside of our hearts. Sometimes we think a little more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And so we need to go through the trial to see what is really in our hearts on the inside. So he wants to know, are they going to believe in him or are they going to complain and have a spirit of disbelief, which we read here in this passage? They did have a spirit of disbelief and they did complain. So it's in his testing that Yahweh actually refines his people. So he allows us to go through these trials and through these afflictions to purify us. So as we begin to see what is actually in our hearts, when we see what's actually there, we can now begin the process of saying, okay, there's some things that are in my heart that needs to be purified, that needs to be cleansed, that I need to get rid of. So it's through the afflictions and the trials that we get to see what's inside of our heart so we can work on those things and get rid of those things so that we can become more like our Messiah, Yeshua. So do you know that Yahweh's word is tested? His word has been tried. It has been refined and it has been purified. Let's look at Psalms chapter 18 and verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. God's way, when his way is lined out for us through his word, through scripture, and that includes his Torah. His Torah provides a way for us. It's a path unto us to lead us unto his righteousness. And his way is perfect. That means it is complete. It lacks nothing. His word, the word of God, is complete. It provides everything that we need to lead us unto righteousness, to lead us to a belief in Yeshua, and to also lead us in his ways of righteousness, or to guide us in what it means to walk in righteousness, to live a life that is pleasing unto him, to live a life that is complete before him, to where we would lack nothing in our faith and nothing in our obedience before him. It says that his word is proven. That means it has been tested. And it has been tested over and over again. And it has been proven to be what? Perfect. To be complete. Lacking nothing. So his word has gone through the process of being tested. And it was found to be lacking nothing. So we, as a people, who are being refined by God, what is the thing that we turn to? What is the thing that we look to in the process of being refined, of being perfected? It is his word. It is hiding his word in our hearts. It's being obedient. It's listening to his word and being obedient to his word, that we as a people are able to become refined and become complete. So we can say, as he says about his word, that his word is proven. So we can be a people who is proven, who has been tested, and has been found to be walking in the ways of Yahweh, walking in faith unto him and in obedience to his word. Let's look at Psalms chapter 119 and verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it is hiding that word that has been proven and tested within our hearts and meditating upon that word. So when the trials come and when affliction comes, when life gets a little hard, when temptation comes, when the temptation of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life comes our way, when those press against us, we have his word hidden within our hearts and his word arises from within our hearts. Remember, when pressure comes, it reveals what's inside. If the thing that's inside is his word, that's what's going to come out. And that way we might not sin against him. So we need to hide his word within our hearts so that when we're pressed, his word is what comes out, not the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. It is a shield to those who put their trust in him. So here Proverbs is talking about how his word is pure. That's the idea of refining something. When you refine metal or you refine gold, what you're doing is you're taking all of the dross or the impurities that are within that gold out. You're drawing it out through the fire. It's the process of cleansing it. Purity speaks of the fact that there is no mixture. So God's word is pure. There is no mixture in his word. There is no impurities. There is no sin in his word. It is clean. And so if we hide that pure word within our hearts, that's what it does. It, his pure word hidden within our hearts will purify our hearts. And it says that his word is a shield to us when we put our trust in him. So when we trust him in his pure word that he has given, it is a shield or a protection unto us from the affliction and the trials that we are going through. See, Israel in the wilderness chose not to put their trust in him. So his word at that moment in time did not serve as a shield unto some of them because they did not choose to put their trust in him and in the purity of his word that he has spoken unto them. He had told them that he was going to lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And we read in that passage of how they're saying, this is not what you said you're bringing us to. They turned their back on the pure word of God and chose not to believe in him. Psalms chapter 12 and verse 6. The words of Yahweh are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So here we see that his word is likened, or it says that his word has been purified seven times. So not only has it gone through the refining fire once, and normally when you refine metal, it's actually only done one time. If you look at the process of how they refine stuff today, they refine it one time. This says it has been done seven times. So it is pure. It speaks of to the level of purity and testing and how much his word has been tried seven times, which also seven is said to be the number of completion. So you could say his word has been completely refined, completely purified. You know that Yeshua himself also was tested. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. So What is it saying? That there is a tried stone, a tried cornerstone. This passage is speaking of Yeshua, the coming Messiah, who is our cornerstone. And this passage is talking about how our cornerstone, Yeshua, has been tried. Now, we know that before he was executed upon that tree, that he stood before the religious people of that time, and he was tested and he was tried. They put him on trial right there in their courtroom, and they were unable to find anything against him because he was the sinless one, the spotless one. So he faced the afflictions of this world, and we're going to read a passage about that here. And he faced the people of that time making accusations against him and prodding him and inspecting him to see if there was any sin in him. And they found nothing. So he was tried, and he was found to be pure or perfect or complete before his heavenly Father. So let's look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Yeshua, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Yeshua answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Yeshua answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship Yahweh your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Yeshua answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt Yahweh your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Now, first thing I want to bring up here in this passage is that Yeshua, verse 1 speaks of this, that he was led into the wilderness. It says, Yeshua, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into wilderness, being tempted for 40 days. So the Holy Spirit led Yeshua into a season of temptation. Or you could say into a time of affliction, into a time of testing or trial. He was led there by the Holy Spirit. Why? It was for the purposes of God that Yeshua would go through this testing period in the wilderness. It was through this period and through this testing that the cornerstone was tried and found to be perfect, found to be worthy to be the cornerstone, to lay down his life for us. He had to serve this purpose. And it's the same for us. In order for us to accomplish the things that God has for us, he is going to lead us by his Spirit. into times of affliction, into times of trial, so we can be tested, so we can be found worthy to be able to do the work and be entrusted with the gifts and his anointing to do the work that he has placed upon us to do. So don't run from the trials. Don't run from the affliction. Embrace it and know what is happening. You did not end up there because you took a wrong turn. You were led there by the Holy Spirit, and he brought you there for his purposes. So in that test, in that trial, be number one, know why you're there. And number two, now focus upon what it is that he is teaching you. What is he revealing that's in your heart that you need to get rid of? And third, work on passing the test. And we pass the test by seeing what it is that we need to get rid of, what is being refined out of our lives, and refine that, get rid of it, get rid of that impurity, and come out of the trial believing in Yeshua, believing in Yahweh, and walking in obedience to his word, walking in his righteousness more completely than you were before you went into the trial. You know, and this says that Yeshua went 40 days without eating. The devil comes to him saying, turn the stone into bread. What's interesting in this passage is the devil knows who he is, but he is trying to play dumb to Yeshua. If you're the Son of God, you know, trying to provoke Yeshua to prove to the devil who he was. And it's interesting, Yeshua doesn't fall into that trap. Yeshua does not feel the need to prove who he is to the devil. So that's a moment. That's something to kind of say la, to kind of think about right there, is that Yeshua did not feel the need to prove to the devil that he was the Son of God. And when he was tempted with the bread, which the bread would represent this hunger that he's having, the lust of the flesh. So Yeshua is being tried in the area of the lust of the flesh at this moment in time. And what does Yeshua do when he was tempted? He turns around and he quotes scripture to the devil. And to be more specific, he actually quotes a portion or a verse out of the Torah. So we see that the Torah, and not just the Torah, but all of Scripture, gives us the power to defeat temptation, to defeat the devil. So why would we want to get rid of any part of Scripture when it is our weapon? Remember, the Word of God is our sword. So when the devil, when temptation comes, when we're going through affliction, going through the test and the trial, the Word of God is our weapon. And you're going to want every bit of it when you're going through that trial. Now, the second thing Yeshua was tempted with was when the devil takes him to the high mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms in the world. And he says, you know, if you will worship me, I will give you all of this. So he is appealing to what Yeshua is seeing in his eyes. So right here, Yeshua is being tempted in the area of the lust of the eyes, of lusting of those things that your eyes see, and being willing to do whatever you have to do in order to obtain the things that you're lusting for in your eyes. And Yeshua says no to him. And again, he quotes scripture and also being Torah unto the devil here to withstand the trial that is being thrown his way. And the third thing that Yeshua was tempted with was when he was brought to the pinnacle. And he says, throw yourself down and you will be rescued if you're the Son of God. Here again, he's appealing to, you could say, that this need to prove that he is the Son of God. So Yeshua here is being tempted in the third area of sin, and that is the pride of life. You know, all sin can be brought down to three areas. It's either the lust of our flesh. It's our flesh craving and desiring something. Or it's the lust of the eyes, that which we see and lusting after stuff. And the third thing being the pride of life. Yeshua was tested in all three areas. And in all three areas, he stood firm and strong in righteousness and in obedience to his Father's word. That's why he quoted the word back. Because he says, the word says this, I have to be obedient to the word, not to the lust of my flesh, not to the lust of my eyes, or to the pride of life. I'm not going to be obedient to my pride. I'm going to be obedient to the word of my heavenly Father. And it's interesting, in the third time that the devil tempts Yeshua, he actually quotes scripture to Yeshua. But he actually misquotes the scripture to Yeshua. And you could say he quotes the scripture out of context to Yeshua. So we have to be careful, because the devil will come and temptation will come, and it will quote scripture. It will twist scripture to make something seem okay for us to do when it's not. So we need to be a people who have a full grasp and a full understanding of the whole word of God, so that we are not vulnerable to the enemy twisting scripture when he comes to us in temptation. I talked about before how the Spirit will lead us into a time of temptation. I want to look at a passage here in Psalms chapter 26 and verse 2. He says, examine me, O Yahweh, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. So here's the psalmist in a prayer to his heavenly Father saying, examine me. That's where we need to be as a people. We need to just come before him and be vulnerable. Be open with him and say, examine me. Look in every bit of me. Look into the most deepest, darkest, secret places and thoughts and desires of my heart. Examine every inch of my heart, Father. Improve me, or what? Or test me. Bring your testing through affliction. So bring affliction into my life to test me, to prove me, to show that I am steadfast in your word, to show me those things in my life that I need to get rid of. Man, that we would have the courage and the willingness to be a people who would pray this prayer, who would be willing to ask Yahweh to send his refining fire into our lives. And he does this. He refines us so that he can get rid of the three areas of sin that I spoke of before: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So why are we being refined? What is John telling us here? Do not love the world. His affliction comes, his refining fire comes to remove from us the love of this world, to remove from us the love of the things that are in this world. And the love of the world or the things that are in this world compose of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So it's through affliction, it's through his refining fire that he removes these things from our lives. We will not get the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life out of our hearts, out of our minds, without going through the refining fire, without going through affliction. Because it's in that process that he removes those things from our lives so that we can be a more complete person before him. A person loving his righteousness, loving his word, loving his Torah. I said it in the intro, you know, great shalom have those loving his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. That right there should be reason enough to be willing to go through the affliction so that we can be a people who love his Torah instead of this world, so that we can experience his shalom. And we can rest assured and know that we will stand steadfast in his righteousness, and nothing will cause us to stumble even as we go through the future trials and afflictions that will come our way. And the good news is that when we are going through these trials and the afflictions, he knows what we are capable of going through. He will not bring anything upon us, any test upon us that is too hard for us to bear. At times it may seem like it's too hard to bear, but rest assured and know that you are faced with no trial, no temptation, no affliction that is too difficult for you to bear. And you have a high priest in Yeshua who went through the same trial, the same affliction that you did. He went through the same refining process that you're going through. And he can empathize with where you are. And he will come and he will help you and he will guide you through that process, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's through this process that we can be a people who will abide forever with our Heavenly Father. Because this world, the things of this world are passing away. There will be a time that will come where the lust of this world will be done away with. And we will live forever with him in his kingdom, to those who have been willing to go through the refining fire, to those who didn't, who desired to go back to the lust of the world, and those who stayed in the lust of the world, they will not experience life forever with Yahweh, but they will experience the opposite. They will experience eternity separated from God, and that is hell. And they will experience that for eternity. So as I said, we are refined through affliction. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. So here the prophet Isaiah is telling us the manner in which we are refined. And he calls it the furnace of affliction. So that's why I've been saying in this teaching that he will bring affliction our way. That the testing and the trials are done. The refining is done through affliction. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Yeshua, Messiah, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua Messiah from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Yeshua Messiah, who, having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, it's interesting, this passage, Peter starts off speaking of the great reward that we have to look forward to. And I think it is very important as believers for us to constantly keep our eyes on the reward that is before us. That way we can remember why we are going through the things that we are going through. We are going through the affliction. He says in this passage that you will greatly rejoice in going through the various trials of life. So when trials come our way, or when affliction comes our way, he tells us to rejoice, to be glad about it. And the reason that we're able to be glad, the reason we're able to rejoice in this affliction and the refining fire that we're going through, is because we can understand that it's for a purpose. It's for the future. The future glory that we're going to see, that's going to be revealed to us and to the whole world at the right time, at Yahweh's timing. We can look forward to that, and we need to be a people who is keeping our eyes upon that future hope, that future glory. And probably when we're going through the trials and through the affliction, we probably need to have our eyes upon that future hope even more. Because it's through having our eyes upon that, that we can experience joy through the affliction. And that's the reason why we're going through the affliction, so that we can find ourselves in that future home, abiding with him forever. And it's in that place that it says that we will have a joy that is inexpressible. Can you imagine being filled with so much joy that you are unable to express the joy that you are experiencing in your life? You know, we have all experienced joy on this earth, but I believe that the joy that we have experienced here doesn't come close to measuring up to the joy that we're going to experience one day. I don't even think that we, at this moment in time, can even imagine what the joy, what level of joy we are going to feel on that day. It's with our thoughts thinking about that day that we're going to experience this inexpressible joy, when we will experience his full glory. And that's another thing. We can't even imagine what it's going to be like to experience his full glory. And one day we will. And we put our eyes upon that, knowing that we will get to experience that one day. And it's because we want to experience that, and we have a longing to experience that, that we're willing to go through the affliction today. We're willing to be refined today so that we can be found worthy to experience that inexpressible joy, to experience the fullness of his glory. So with that said, I just want to encourage you to be a person who is bold enough and willing to pray the prayer to your Heavenly Father, to come to Him and say, examine my heart, to open yourself up, to not be afraid of what may be found, to be willing to go through the affliction, through that refining process of what it's going to take for Him to refine your heart, for His Spirit to lead you through that time of affliction, through that wilderness, just as Yeshua was led through that wilderness by the Holy Spirit. Be willing to pray that prayer for Him to examine your heart, to try your heart, and to be willing that as He tries your heart, as you go through that refining fire, to let go of the things that He finds and that you will see that are not lined up with His word, that's not according to His righteousness. And if you're willing to go through that process, you become a vessel that He can use on this earth. You actually become a vessel that will reflect more of Him to your neighbor and to the nations of this world. Through the refining fire, your light will shine even brighter to the nations of the world. Your salt will become saltier. You will actually be able to experience more of His joy here, even though it's not going to be to the measure you will one day. You will be able to experience more of His glory on this earth today. But we will look forward to the day where we will experience it in all fullness and a joy that cannot be measured. And also, let me finish with this one last passage. Psalm 17, verse 3. This is a reason why I want to encourage you to be willing to go through the affliction, through the trial, through the refining process, and to actually get rid of those things. That way you can say what this verse right here says, what the psalmist says in Psalms chapter 17 and verse 3. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. So that's the reason we should have a desire to go through the trial, through the refining fire, so that we can testify and say, you have tested my heart and you have found nothing. That is the ultimate end goal, is to be refined to the point that there is nothing left to be found inside of us. Remember, His word was refined 7 times. It was refined completely. We should be able and willing and desire to be refined over and over and over again until the process is completed in our lives. Well, hallelujah. I am so glad that you have joined us for this teaching. I hope that this has blessed you. We will be back next week with another teaching. So I just want to encourage you to come back and join us for that teaching. And with that, I just want to say, shalom, y'all.